Last week, I called my oldest brother. I call him about every week, so that's not unusual. And he's been losing weight for over a year, maybe much longer than that. Lost over 60 pounds, and he wasn't huge to start with, but he was overweight, maybe. And he had found out he had been losing blood. Why? They didn't know why he'd been losing blood. They said they could run tests, and they said they could give him transfusions for the blood. But he has several health problems. Excuse me. He has several health problems. And that's something. He's 91. It would be 92 later this month. And he thought, he's lived a long time. He's had health problems. He's had half a lung removed several years ago, 10 or 15 years ago, he had half a lung removed. And that had been a problem for a long time. They just didn't know what the problem was, but I suppose that sort of solved it. And not long ago, he went on hospice. He chose not to go through those tests, not to have transfusions, and not to do anything special to try to gain a few more days or weeks or whatever. And he's not had very many good days for a while, unable to sleep well. And so being on hospice, they say, we can give you comfort. We can give you morphine so that you can sleep. And he said, that worked pretty good. He was able to sleep pretty well through the night. And last night, his daughter gave me a call because she knows I usually call on Sunday afternoons or early evening. And she let me know that his condition is deteriorating, that he's been in a hospital bed now for since Tuesday, and that he's still alive, but it's not going to be long. Of course, when you go on hospice, we figure that in the first place, and when you see his condition deteriorating. When I talked with him last Sunday, he's got a great memory. You talk with him any time, and you can tell, wow, he remembers things real well. And last Sunday, his memory was not top-notch. Wasn't real good. And he got tired of talking with me after a while. It was not unusual for us to talk for 2 hours. Last week, he got tired after only 1 hour. So he's getting pretty weak. If he could only talk for 1 hour. He suggested that was long enough. And I say these things to help us consider what requests we should make to God in a situation such as his. What should I offer my prayers? How should I approach God? What should I say? So I thought I would talk about this. Even I didn't decide since last week. I decided quite a while ago I'd speak on this topic. But I thought I'd use that for an illustration, say, what should we pray? So I pray that he gets well and he's able to be up and about, full robust health again, and gain those 60 pounds back and be like he was before, have that great memory and so forth. I don't think I'd pray for that. So what should I pray? Well, I thought I'd prepare some slides ahead of time. I requested Andy have the TV all set up and everything before he left, because knowing he'd be gone today, I figured, you know, that we ought to have that working. So in case you're wondering why we're in a hurry to get that up there. But I wrote some scriptures down there to see what the scriptures say about prayer. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, we're just going to read the basic of the, not the whole passage, just read the first verse to see what the main message was there. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Well, that's one thing about prayer. We ought always to pray and not lose heart. I'll just try to pray always. Some people take that to mean you have to be praying 100% of the time. I don't think that's what I was talking about at all, but we always should pray When is it not appropriate to pray? Should you say, oh, I can go a period of time without prayer? No, well, what I pray always, pray frequently. So that's one thing about prayer I saw. Then Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So it's saying we ought always to pray, and we make our requests to God. So I'll just write a request there. Make a request known. Something on your mind, something you'd like God to handle, something that you need to pray about, make your request known to God. Third one I got there is Matthew chapter 21. Verses 21 and 22. And Jesus answered them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, if you remember the situation, he had spoken the fig tree and it withered. You'll not only do what's been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Well, that speaks of the importance of faith concerning prayer. So it says, whatever you ask, even if you ask this mountain to be moved and cast into the sea, it will happen if you have faith and no doubt. I've never seen that happen. I've never seen. Is there anybody who ever won the mountain move and wanted to cast? Nobody had faith, never had that. So, you know, I'm just saying these things puzzle me sometimes. And I get to thinking about them and say, what is the application? How does it affect my prayers? Is it my faith weak if it doesn't happen? Is that what it is? You ask for a prayer, then it will happen. So I think, that's interesting. Do I know the answers? Not usually. But I puzzle them and think about them. And maybe you always, it's simple to you, and maybe you don't have any questions, doubts like that, and think, well, I do. James chapter 1. Verses 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all, without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So what's that say? We need to ask with no doubt. When we pray, God, I'd like for you to do this, but I don't think it'll happen. I doubt it can happen, but I'm going to pray to you anyhow. We're supposed to pray without doubt. So I was talking about my brother. Should I pray that he gets up, becomes robust and strong, and gains that weight back, and becomes like he was 50 years ago or whatever? I couldn't do that without doubt, could you? And again, James chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. I hope I got the right reference. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Well, there it says the prayer of a righteous person. So it talks about the power of prayer. Power regarding the righteous. Well, Elijah as an example. He's a righteous man. He prayed that it doesn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months, a long time. But the prayer of a righteous person has power. Now, is that my problem? Am I not righteous, or does my prayer not have power? You know? What is the situation about what I should pray for? Then one more, Matthew 19. And verse 26. Jesus looked up and looked at them and said, doesn't matter what he looked at them concerning, the next part's what we want to know. With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Is it possible my brother could be whole and well and strong yet? With God all things are possible, and so I never doubt the ability of God, what God can do. Sometimes we might do that and say, I don't think even God can do it. Well, yes, God can. We might not think God will, but we shouldn't doubt what God can do. But, let's see if I got a better marker back here. I'm not hiding. I'm trying to get a marker that marks better. So, my lesson's about today. Who knows? We know some things about prayer, right? We know these things. But who knows? I got another chart. This is amazing, I know. You didn't know my technology exceeded that ability, but I'm getting stronger and more capable all the time what I can accomplish. You thought that was going to be a short lesson, I know. Went over all those points, and that's the end of the chart. But I got something else to go. This is some application. Some people who prayed. And we'll take a look at how they prayed. Are they righteous people? Yes. We're going to be looking at righteous people who pray. And how does it, what effect does it have? The prayer of a righteous person has power, right? God can do all things, right? So we're going to consider those things that we just looked at and see how it applies as people pray to God. Okay, the first one we're going to look at is 2 Samuel chapter 12. And in 2 Samuel chapter 12, you remember the situation with David and Bathsheba, the consequences there? God said, your child is going to die. How did that affect David? Miserably, of course. Real bad. But we turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12. And we read beginning with verse 13. David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. Nevertheless, because of this deed, you have utterly scorned the Lord. The child who is born to you shall die. David hears very bad news. God says your child's going to die. What are you going to do about it, David? You're going to say, oh, well, that's what God said. What's David do? Well, let's read just a little further. Then Nathan went to his house, and the Lord afflicted the child so that Uriah's wife bore to David. And he became sick. The child becomes sick. God says, child's going to die. Child becomes sick. No surprise, right? David therefore gave up. No, it doesn't say that. David therefore sought God on behalf of the child. Well, what are you going to pray, David? He's going to pray on behalf of the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. And the elders of his house stood beside him to raise him from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. David is seeking God's help in this situation. God, you can do anything. It's possible for you to not make the child die. God said the child is going to die. When God says something, should you pray for something different? See, I wonder these things. Maybe you don't. Well, let's drop down to verse 21. The child died. Verse 21, then his servant said to him, "What is this thing that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and ate food." He said, notice what David said, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who knows whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live." God had said the child was going to die, but David said, who knows? He wept, he prayed, he sought God's favor for his child because he said, who knows? Let's look at another. David's a righteous man, right? He prayed. Prayer has power of a righteous man. But the child died. Hezekiah in 2 Kings chapter 18. Actually, we're going to look at a couple things here. 2 Kings chapter 18, beginning with verse 33. Now, in this situation, Hezekiah, the king of Judah, is being surrounded by the mighty Assyria, a little country, huge Assyria, taking up all every country around about them. Hezekiah, you're in trouble. Well, duh, he knows that. So, 2 Kings chapter 18, picking up with verse 33, here's what the Assyrian leader is saying. "Has any of the gods of the nations ever delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim and Hena and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who among all the gods of the lands have delivered their lands out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand?" So he's saying, Hezekiah, are you kidding? Why don't you just give up? You want to fight? That's dumb. You'll be destroyed. That's basically what he's saying. Well, chapter 19. As soon as King Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Sheba, the secretary, and the senior priests who covered with sackcloth, to the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos. They said to him, "Thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of distress, of rebuke, and of disgrace. Children have come to the point of birth, and there is no strength to bring them forth." We're in big trouble. This is horrible. This is a bad situation. Of course he knows that. Verse 4, it may be, does he know? It may be that the Lord your God heard all the words of the Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, sent to mock the living God, and will rebuke the words that the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. Was Hezekiah sure what's going to happen? He prayed in faith. No doubt this is going to happen. If there's no doubt, he wouldn't say, maybe. It may be that God will solve this problem. So they went to God in prayer. You remember what happened? God saved them. But Hezekiah wasn't absolutely convinced and sure this is what happened. God will save us from this great, powerful nation. He didn't know. Again, in 2 Kings chapter 20, we have a situation. Hezekiah is still king. Hezekiah got sick. And in 2 Kings chapter 20, it says, verse 1, in those days Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die. You shall not recover. Kind of the same thing it said to David concerning his job. You're going to die. Hezekiah, you are going to die. You're not going to get well. You're going to die. Interesting about that, Hezekiah. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. What would you expect Hezekiah to do? He prays, yeah. Saying, now, O Lord, please remember how I've walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. Hezekiah weeps, he prays. God told him he's going to die. What's going to happen? Verse 4, and before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, turn back and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life. God had said you're going to die. Hezekiah said, oh, well, I can't pray to you then because I have my doubts. Hezekiah prayed and God said, I heard your prayer. I know your tears. Therefore, you're going to recover. I'll add 15 years to your life. Interesting, right? Because when God says something, you're going to say, well, that's bound to happen then. Hezekiah didn't say that, did he? Even David didn't say that, did he? But when, in David's situation, the child did die. In Hezekiah's case, Hezekiah didn't die. Interesting, right? Let's turn to the book of Daniel. You remember Daniel had three friends. And the king was aware that they don't bow down to the image and worship it. And so he says, if you don't, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to throw you in the furnace and heat it super hot. And what do you think is going to happen to you? Well, I know what happens. Most things run in the furnace. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, he said, you're going to fall down and worship? I'm going to give you one more chance. So they answered the king. O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, they say, we know what's going to happen. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. We know the power of God. God can do anything. With God, all things are possible. You say you're going to throw me in the furnace? God will deliver me out of your hand. Now, I don't know if they are saying that God won't have us killed, but it's not going to be your hand that makes the decision. It's going to be God that makes the decision. He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Were they sure? If they're sure, why they say, if not? Verse 17, if this be so, our God whom we serve is able. Do we question God's ability? We should not question God's ability. God has all power. With God, all things are possible. But they said, and you remember what happened in this situation. You probably remember, don't you? They were thrown into the furnace, and they didn't even get burnt, or their hair singed. They didn't have a problem. It didn't burn them out. They didn't die. And the king calls them out. Come on out of the furnace. Yeah, come on out of the furnace. You don't have a problem with that, do you? No, they came out of the furnace unhurt. Because God had that power. And he chose to do that. In the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. Paul's writing about himself, and he says, though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. Now, I'm not wanting to brag and say how great I am. People say, oh, he's a great one. Paul's not the one to brag about himself. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations. Well, Paul's getting messages from God, right? And people might say, whoa, that Paul's great. He gets messages straight from God. But Paul didn't want that to be the case. And God didn't want that to be the case. Because it says, to keep me from becoming conceited, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. He had a problem. It doesn't say specifically what the problem was, but he had a problem God caused him to have a problem. Evidently, God caused it, and I had a problem. And God wasn't wanting to solve that problem for him. But Paul says in verse 8, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. He pleaded to God, he prayed to God three times. Because who wants to have problems? Paul, righteous man? Yes. Get messages from God? Yes. A great preacher? Yes. What did God do? I prayed to him three times. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. God taught him, my grace is sufficient. You don't need to have that removed. Doesn't seem that Paul had his doubts. Was it Paul weak in faith? And say, I don't know if this will happen or not, but God, I'd like. Paul was a man of faith. A great man. Serving God. And he requested of God. We're to make a request known to God, right? He requested God three times. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Numbers chapter 20. In Numbers chapter 20, we have a situation where Moses had been given orders to speak to the rock to give them water. Because the people were crying for thirst. And Moses is getting upset about the people, always complaining, grumbling. So when they get to the rock, chapter 20, verse 10. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, good job. No, that's not what he said. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. Remember, Moses is leading them from Egypt Going to lead them into Canaan, through the wilderness into Canaan. Now they've been delayed for a long time, getting delayed and spending a lot of time in the wilderness and complaining a lot, getting thirsty, getting hungry, and saying, "You don't take good care of us." Okay. So Moses finally calls them rebels and say, "Do you need us? So we bring you water from here." They didn't glorify God. And God says, "Moses, you're not going into the land." Deuteronomy chapter 3. We'll follow up on that with Moses. In Deuteronomy chapter 3, beginning with verse 23, Moses says, "And I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, 'O Lord God, you have only begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do such works and mighty acts as yours? Please let me go over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, that good hill country in Lebanon.'" God had told Moses, "You are not going to go into the land." So Moses pleads to God, "Please let me go over and see that land." Moses, a righteous man, powerful in prayers, a great man. "But the Lord was angry with me because of you and would not listen to me. And the Lord said to me, 'Well, since you've pleaded and asked several times, I'll let you go.'" Not what he said. "The Lord said to me, 'Enough from you. Do not speak to me of this matter again.'" Don't ask again. Interesting situations. So we had here David. Situation. God said, "Your child's going to die." David prayed to God. What happened? The child died. Hezekiah, surrounded by a great nation of Assyria, they chided him and said, "Are you kidding? What nation has ever defeated us and prevented us from taking them on?" God delivered him. Get Hezekiah again in chapter 20, where God told him, when Hezekiah got sick, God said, "Put your house in order. You're not going to recover. You're going to die." Hezekiah pleaded to God, prayed to God with tears. God will have time added to your life. Only he would not recover, now he doesn't, he will recover. In Esther chapter 4, we have the three friends, and I'll just put three friends there instead of writing their names down. Three friends of Daniel. If you don't bow down to that image, you'll be thrown in the fire furnace. God can deliver us. But if not, who knows? But if not, we still are not going to bow down to that image. That was mixed up. I've lived in this. I've got enough after all. Esther chapter 4. Boy. I always make some mistake, don't worry. If you're always looking for a mistake, don't worry. Alan will make one. In the book of Esther, we have the situation Esther chapter 4. All the Jews are going to be destroyed. Remember that? All the Jews are going to be destroyed because they were hated. And Haman is going to see that they're all destroyed. In Esther chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, it says, "When Mordecai learned all that had been done, Mordecai tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city, and he cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went up to the entrance of the king's gate, for no one was allowed to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. And in every province, wherever the king's command and his decree reached, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting and weeping and lamenting, and many of them lay in sackcloth and ashes." The Jews are very distraught. They're all going to be killed. Of course, they're upset. What are they going to do? Dropping down to verse 13. Esther wants Mordecai to put on regular clothes. Mordecai lets her know, hey, this is a serious situation. The Jews are going to be killed. Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. Esther, you're a Jew too, and you'll be killed." Remember, she's the queen. "For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows? Who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Esther, I don't know why you became queen. You don't know why you became queen. Who knows? Maybe this is the opportunity. Maybe this is the very reason that you have become the queen." Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it's against the law, and he'll listen." No, that's not what she said. "And if I perish, I perish. If I perish, I perish. I don't know for sure what happened," she says. "I might perish." But what happened, of course? I was spared. Things worked out well for me. But she didn't know that. I got three friends here. Daniel was there. Esther had a situation that she says, "If I perish, I perish." You know. Do we know all the time? I know. Here we have Paul. Paul spoke. He had a thorn in the flesh. He's requested three times to be removed. God said, "My grace is sufficient for you. I'm not going to do it," in other words, God said. "I'm not going to remove that from you." In the Numbers chapter 20, we have Moses. Moses wanted to go in the land of Canaan. He had not obeyed God and given God the glory when he told him to speak the rock. "Must we give you water?" God said, "You're not going to enter the land." When Moses requested, God said, "Don't talk to me about this again." Remember these things about prayer. We need to pray. We need to make a request to God. We need to have faith. We need to not be doubting things. Prayer of a righteous man. And with God, all things are possible. But who knows? Not to doubt God. Always praise God. Always have confidence in Him. But we don't always know what's going to happen. So what should we pray for? Pray for good things. Not for selfish things. Pray for good things. Realize that with God all things are possible. But we don't know what's going to happen. So do we pray for people when they're sick? Yes. Do we pray for situations that are going wrong? Yes. We don't always know what's going to happen. Always trust in God and believe in God. And realize God may say, my grace is sufficient for you. Or realize we shouldn't ask God about it again sometimes. Because God will do things that are in our best interest.